Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Tomorrow, we celebrate American Independence Day on the 4th of July. And in honor of this significant date, we are going to feature a real firebrand conversation here today and tomorrow, talking about God's spirit within the founding and the true heart of America. Today on Family Talk, Gary Bauer will be joined by his guest, Bob McEwen. Going to hear a little bit more about Bob in just a moment, but first, though, a reminder, if you have yet to listen to Gary Bauer on the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast, I encourage you to listen in. Do so after you hear the rest of today's program. You can find Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom on our website at drjamesdobson.org. You can also listen in at oneplace.com or your favorite podcast streaming service. And now, let's join Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Policy Center, as he further introduces today's guest, Bob McEwen, right now on Family Talk.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the James Dobson Family Institute. I also host the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast here at JDFI. And I'm honored, obviously, to serve alongside my good friend for so many years, Dr. James Dobson. You know, it is really important that each generation of young Americans understand the history of our country, how we got started, and why. I've always had a passion for educating kids and teenagers about American history. I was Undersecretary of Education for a number of years under Ronald Reagan, and this was one of the main themes that I worked on. Today, sadly, many adults struggle to answer just basic questions about America, about our history. You probably have all seen those on-the-street interviews where somebody comes up and puts a microphone in somebody's face and says, what were the two sides in the Civil War? And the adult looks at him and says, was that France and Germany? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So we obviously have a problem. And this is an issue that I know all of us feel strongly about, and particularly here we are in July 4th week. What a great time to have a discussion about this. Our guest today is Bob McEwen. And he shares my passion about this topic. Bob has been a friend of Dr. Dobson for years, and he has served as an advisory member of the board of directors here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Bob serves as executive director of the Council for National Policy, otherwise referred to as CNP. And I'm going to ask Bob to talk about that a little bit, because many of you may not know about this incredibly important organization. Bob was elected to Congress in 1980. That year might jump out at you because that was the year that Ronald Reagan was elected to the presidency. And that tells you something about what the country was thinking about. He represented Ohio in the U.S. House of Representatives and went on to win, I believe, six terms in the House of Representatives. He also served as a special presidential envoy for Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush. In addition, Bob was appointed, and this is very relevant to our subject, he was appointed to the 1776 Commission by President Trump. You can probably tell by the title that was a commission dedicated to exactly what we want to talk about today. How can we better educate American young people about this great country? I could go on probably for an hour about all of Bob's achievements, the places historically he ends up finding himself in. He has regaled audiences for years with those stories. They're all incredible. Bob and his lovely wife, Liz, have four children and a number of grandchildren. Bob, welcome to the show. Dr. Dobson and Shirley send you their best regards.
Well, Gary, it's always great to be with you. Thank you so much. And our mutual friends with Jim and Shirley. And so it's a pleasure to be on with you, especially during this vital week for our country.
Bob, you know, I mentioned the Council on National Policy, and I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about CNP, because that's an organization that doesn't strive to make headlines. It's an organization where conservative leaders of groups can get together, compare notes, talk about strategy, and generous people that over the years support those organizations can come and see these groups, talk to their leaders, and so forth. But there's a great history here about how CNP started. So, Bob, why don't you tell this audience a little bit about the group and in its history? Because I believe, doesn't it involve Dr. Dobson, among others?
Well, he was certainly one of the, at the very beginning. And Gary, as you know, the conservatives were considered the outliers of the Republican Party all up through the 1940s and 1950s. And our friend Robert Taft from Ohio was shunted out from being the nominee. And when Barry Goldwater was nominated, then they all turned against him. And every 3 days, a Republican would say, I'm a loyal Republican, but I could never vote for Barry Goldwater. And so eventually, when Ronald Reagan became the nominee, it was the first time that a conservative had won. And it was important that to be able to bring the resources together. Now everyone claims they're a conservative, but we got the heads of the conservative organizations, the Heritage Foundation, National Rifle Association, all these good folks and business people like Rich DeVos and Joe Coors and others. And they said that what we want to do is to bring all the people together and support President Reagan's effort to turn the country around. If you may recall, and this is probably helpful to some of the younger people to recall as they look at over the transom right now and say, what has happened to our country? Well, you and I, Gary, remember exactly what this was like when we didn't have Jimmy Carter 2.0, which they call Joe Biden, but we had Jimmy Carter 1.0. And we had 18% inflation, 22% interest rates. America was in a serious state of decline. Only one plane in three was airworthy in the Air Force. Only one ship in three could sail. A third of all the people wearing the uniform of the United States military were on drugs. Mm. Our nation was being attacked from around the globe, and people lost faith. In fact, at that same year, 1980, the Conference for African Unity, this head of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, speaking to 56 African countries, laid out what the next decade would be like. He said, the tide of history is on the side of socialism and communism. He said, by the end of this decade, we will be able to work our will any place on the planet. Economic, military, and politically is on our side. And that's what people thought America was finished, washed up. Wear your sweater, ride your bicycle. America's come to an end next Tuesday a week, gas lines, all the things that liberals can do to any city or any school board or any nation. On election night, Ronald Reagan said, there's nothing wrong with this country that proper leadership can't cure. And so with that, we elected a new president. We cut taxes. America began to roar back. Three of every four jobs created on this planet in the 1980s were created in one country, the United States of America. And by 1989, the end of the decade that Brezhnev spoke about, the entire world, the wall came down, and they were chanting from the Kremlin to Warsaw to Berlin, chanting USA, USA, USA. So In order to bring that about, some folks got together and formed a thing called the Council for National Policy. And the way that it catches people's attention is that we don't do anything. And that's sort of like the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce doesn't sell shoes, doesn't sell houses, doesn't sell cars, but it has members that do all of those things. And so the Council for National Policy meets three times a year for the purpose of getting all the folks cooperatively swimming together. And Liz and I were able to join the third meeting back in 1982. And for the last decade or so, I've been privileged to lead it. And Gary, you've been a very loyal part of that, as well as Dr. Dobson. And I could tell you, it's been a fountain for many other things as well.
It's an amazing organization, Bob. And I can still remember over the years some incredible speeches that have been delivered at CNP meetings that ended up being the beginnings of whole movements that swept the country, whether it was the taxpayer revolt and all the various other things we've seen in recent years. You mentioned Ronald Reagan's election, and that's a good segue, because after those incredible 8 years, Ronald Reagan, as almost every president does, gave a farewell address to the nation. And just like Ronald Reagan's entire presidency, it was a very upbeat farewell address until he got to the very end. And this is what he said. Freedom is lost unless we teach it to the rising generation. So he said, we've got to teach history based not on what's in fashion, but what's important, why the pilgrims came here, who Jimmy Doolittle was, and what those 30 seconds over Tokyo meant. If you were talking to the kids of America today, I've heard you describe America before, you know, the sort of summary of what this country has meant to the world. Our kids are hearing a whole bunch of negative stuff, but they're not hearing the real story of America. So why don't you share with us what you would say to America's children?
Well, Gary, it's really hard to believe, as you know, the greatness that is America. From our perspective, you can see how much it has blessed the nation. But in the 1960s, when the effort was made to overthrow the nation, they burned our cities to the ground, tried to start a race war and all. But eventually, they found out that most Americans loved our country. And so they began to go into the institutions and begin to warp the institutions to teach people that America was the source of evil. I mean, one of the things they talk about is slavery. You know, slavery was ubiquitous from scriptural, from the biblical times, up until one day, Gary, one day. That day was July 4th, 1776. Prior to that time, slavery was everywhere. And yet on that day, a group of men called themselves Americans, and they began with this idea that it didn't make any difference what your bloodline was or what your ethnicity was, if you're working in the pyramids in Egypt or whatever, but because God made you, we hold these truths to be self-evident, which is a gracious way of saying any idiot ought to understand this, that all men are created. They didn't just climb out of the primordial slime and say, let's write a symphony. That all men are created equal and endowed not by a 5-4 decision of the Supreme Court or some government, but endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among those are life and then liberty and then the pursuit of happiness. And from that day forward, slavery has been anathema. And those founders, those men who were raised in a period of slavery, over the course of their lives began to make it such that their slaves could be freed, either upon as they gave them the capacity they could be free, and America stood for freedom around the globe. Now, of course, there were always those that opposed it, and it took a while to get there, and so there are some that still love it. In fact, there are more slaves on earth today than there ever have been in history. But America, those men changed it. Why? Because they looked to God as the source. Every other government, it came from the bloodline. It came from the land that you owned. It came from the religion that you belonged to. But in America, it came from one source, and that was God. You can go to China, you can't become Chinese. You go to Japan, can't be Japanese. Anybody can come to America, become an American. Why? Because American is spiritual. And from that idea, that little place in the middle of nowhere in which there was nothing, and now today it's only 4% of the population of the world. 96% of the people live elsewhere, and yet that 4% produces between a fourth and a third of all the goods and services on the planet. That little 4% every year writes more books, more plays, more symphonies, more copyrights, more inventions than the other 96% combined. For thousands of years, people had hoped to someday fly. It was Americans that invented the airplane and the light bulb and the telegraph and the telephone, put men on the moon. There are skyscrapers all over the world. Why? Because an American named Elisha Otis invented the elevator. And there are places where it's 100, 120 degrees. Why? Because an American named Willis Carrier invented the air conditioner. No nation has blessed the world like this nation has blessed the world. And not only by its abundance, because when you do things, righteousness exalteth the nation, the hand of the diligent maketh rich, but also because it stands for what is right and wrong. If you're a ship and you're on the high seas, what protects you from being attacked? Whether it be a yacht in the Caribbean or a trawler in the South China Sea or a tanker, a British tanker in the Straits of Hormuz being attacked by Somali gunmen, to whom can you appeal for help? Only the 327,000 Americans wear the uniform of the United States Navy. That's the standard for righteousness in the world. They're the ones that can call for help. Our satellites will check where those people are. And if they take them over and go into a harbor, we will pursue them, whether it be a banking system or copyrights. Or anything. The standard for righteousness in the world is America. And that's why those that bent on their knees, asked for God's blessing. And when they did, they came up with this new idea. Nobody had ever done it before, and they couldn't agree on what to do. They had these, America was going to be different, and they had states that had slaves, and we didn't want to do that. And so there was a fight there. And then, of course, you had big states. Half of all the people lived in three states, half lived in 10 states. You couldn't resolve that. And so in the effort to make our country a new nation, they couldn't decide what to do. And a fellow by the name of Benjamin Franklin, a man who was a major supporter of the Enlightenment that took place in the ministries up and down the country prior to that time, as the pulpits were aflame with righteousness. And he said, you know, when they were meeting in Philadelphia, he was one of only four people that had been there 11 years earlier when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. And he asked to speak. Everyone got quiet because he was the most respected man on earth. He was the most respected man in the world. And he said, I'm an old man. One thing I have learned is that God deals in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall without his notice, is it probable that an empire could rise without his aid? He said, we've been instructed in the sacred writings, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Well, he said, well, I believe this. Without his help, we shall be no more successful in this political building than were the builders of Babel. He said, in the conflict with Great Britain, we had daily prayer in this room. Our prayers were heard, and they were graciously answered. And now, get this. This isn't 200 years later. This is 11 years later. He said, have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need him? He said, Mr. President, I move that we begin our sessions in prayer. And so with that, they recessed for 3 days of fasting and prayer, met the following Monday morning on their knees, and over the next 5.5 weeks wrote the Constitution of the United States, creating the oldest government on the planet. Every government on earth has changed repeatedly since that time, and yet this government has then been able to bless the world as no other nation has. And so if people, particularly in the pulpits, in our churches, we need to be aware, if you take, this is the lighthouse for the gospel, if you take all the money that goes for global evangelism from the entire planet and increase it 5.5 times, that's still not as much as America gives to the preaching of the gospel. So this nation is blessed because it follows God, and that's why those who are his children have a responsibility on this occasion, on our nation's birthday, to have a responsibility and a new pledge that we will maintain to our generation just what Ronald Reagan suggested has been handed to us.
But Bob, here's my get-rich-quick scheme. What you just said could be turned in to a basic little textbook, for lack of a better word, or pamphlet. And if every American child at the appropriate age read that summary of what the American Republic stood for, why it was founded, and what this great country has achieved over the years, our country would be a lot better off. You know, you said a number of things there that are so important. At the very beginning of the country, we appealed to heaven. We wanted God's wisdom to direct our deliberations. I believe with the Continental Congress's first session, there was a prayer, as you indicated, and the Congress has been opening up with prayer ever since. But it's gotten more and more controversial as the years have gone on. And now, Bob, as you know, we've got a bunch of people in America, unfortunately, many of them in very powerful positions and the teacher unions and even in our government, that think the idea of America had nothing to do with God, when it is the central distinguishing characteristic of the country that we became one of the first people that ever said in those words in the Declaration of Independence that our liberty comes not from Caesar, doesn't come from a president, even one we like. It doesn't come from 5 magical votes on the Supreme Court. The liberty originates with God, and that's why we all have dignity, value, and worth. I'd like to hear your thoughts about this concept that's getting traction. It's being called Christian nationalism, And I'm finding when I ask a liberal, well, what exactly is that? They can't define it. The best thing I've come up with that appears to be what they're talking about is that if you love Jesus, that makes you a Christian. And if you really love America, that makes you a patriot or a national. And if you love both Jesus and America, that makes you a Christian nationalist. And that's a threat, these people say, to our country. Well, up until the day before yesterday, that was a description of 99% of the American people from the very beginning all up until recent history. So what is your reaction to this new controversy? And I think even, by the way, some people in the churches are embracing this. I've run into some pastors that now are afraid to put the American flag up at the front of the church because people might call them a Christian nationalist.
Well, Satan never sleeps. And as I said, you know, when we took the Bible and the Jesus film Behind the Iron Curtain, and what's the first thing that tyrants do? Is it that fascists do? That Nazis? Now, what is Nazi? Nazi is National Socialist. As Nazi is short for what do the National Socialists or the Communists in the Soviet Union, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics? So, what does the left? What does a socialist do? First of all, they want to be the center of power, and if they're the center of power, then they have to displace God. And America was founded upon God, the Jefferson Memorial, the God who gave us life, gave us liberty at the same time. Now, there's the sequence. You have to have God first and then protection for life. There's no nation on earth that gives a protection of life, only America. And so if I want to take your life, if I want to take innocent life, the first thing I have to do is get rid of God. And so for a long time, both the Democrat and Republican parties believed in God, and they believed in life. When I was early in Congress, many of the Democrat Party were Catholics. 90% of those Catholics voted pro-life. And that has all completely changed now. Pro-life people have been driven out of the Democrat Party. You cannot be in a position of leadership if you are not pro-abortion. So how did you get that? Well, first of all, you had to do away with God. See, God is the source of liberty. And when we say God, who are we talking about when they say our creator? It's right there in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, creator. All things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, who's that? That's Jesus Christ. So the Word or Jesus Christ, these are all synonyms. And that's the source of our strength. And so the Liberal Party had to get rid of God. And so they wanted to take God out of their platform, and so they haven't had the word God in any of the Democrat platforms for all these many years.
Well, if you enjoyed today's episode of Family Talk, make sure you come back again tomorrow. You'll hear part two of Gary Bauer's fascinating conversation with Bob McEwen. We're going to hear about American independence. We're also going to hear the story of how the Star-Spangled Banner came to be as well. You will not want to miss it. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Bob McEwen, you can go to our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Of course, tomorrow is July 4th, Independence Day. It's a time to reflect on what had to be achieved for each and every one of us to ultimately enjoy the freedoms that we have today. If you'd like to learn more about America and our biblical Christian heritage, I encourage you to sign up for a brand new free 5-day email series called Faith of Our Founders. Each day, you'll receive an email that focuses on a different American that helped form our nation. We hope you'll be inspired and encouraged by reading about the lives of these great men and that their stories will challenge you to uphold the values that make America great. To sign up, all you have to do is go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk and then click on the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page. We pray that this series will instill a deeper wisdom and an appreciation of our founders, and that appreciation begins with their ardent faith in God. They set a wonderful example for us to follow indeed. Again, for the free 5-day email series called Faith of Our Founders, go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk and then click the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page. Now, we know that fathers and sons stood side by side as they fought for our nation's freedom. Pride for God and country was strong until the breakdown of the family began. If you're a dad looking for a way to reconnect or to connect better and strengthen your relationship with your son, there is a brand new devotional created just for you. Mark Hancock, the CEO of Trail Life USA, is the author of the brand new devotional book called Trail Ready, 101 Devotions for Dads with Boys. We'll be happy to send you a copy as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of the ministry here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. So to reserve your copy, visit our website at drjamesdobson.org/family talk and then click the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page. Or remember, you can also reserve your copy over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh, and from all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, may God continue to richly bless you and your family as you grow stronger in your relationship with Him. And be sure to join us again tomorrow for a special Independence Day edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.